Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, everybody. God bless you, and welcome to another live broadcast of God's Word to Man. I am Brother Manny, and I am so happy to have you here with us this evening for another lesson that God has given the man of God. I just want to welcome each and every one of you. The option to call in if you have a question, a prayer request, or even a comment about the topic. The number to call in is 563-999-3552. Again, that number is 563-999-3552. And we will answer your call in the order that it is received. Amen. Tonight's topic we're going to be talking about unrewarded quitters. Unrewarded quitters. I pose this question to you. How many of us give up before we see something through to the end? We're struggling and struggling. We've prayed, we've cried, we've prayed, all of y'all not fasting. Come on now, just be honest. But okay, let's just say we're fasting, we're praying, and we're really seeking God. We're really hoping for something. We're praying and wishing for something. But we give up right at the point before we receive our breakthrough or our blessing. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. We have, of course, scripture to back up what we will be discussing. And I invite you to share this broadcast, share the platform with someone, send it out via text to your social media pages. Let's just have a discussion. And you know, I'm never here by myself. I always have my brother with me. He happens to be my brother in Christ, but he also happens to be my blood brother. And I'm going to bring him on. Amen. God bless you. Rev, how are you?
I'm blessed. How about yourself, Brother Manny?
Feeling great. Feeling awesome. Thanking God for another opportunity, another chance to share his word with the people. Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Of course, it's always a blessing to have you on to do primarily the bulk of the teaching. And I'll just hop in and out when I can. Praise God. Amen. But I like this particular topic that you came up with. You text me because it's something, of course, you and I have been talking about a great deal. And I wonder if the listeners, if people who will listen, who are listening live right now and who will listen to the recording, if they've had this hard conversation with themselves, like you don't necessarily need a mirror, but just for the full effect, of course, just look at yourself in the mirror and kind of, I'm not trying to sound vulgar or give TMI, but to fully undress yourself and be honest with yourself about just plain giving up, just quitting, not just quitting spiritually, but quitting in the natural sense of the word, quitting on yourself professionally, health-wise, relationship-wise, not just with a spouse, but what about a brother or sister or a family member? I mean, this thing can go in so many directions, but before we get started, I just want to go ahead and invite you to open us up in prayer and let you get going, okay? So remember, brothers and sisters, if you want to call in, the number is 563-999-3552, okay? Go ahead. Take it away, Rev.
Father God, in Jesus' name, we just humbly come before you, throwing a grace on tonight, thanking you and praising you for the opportunity, God, to teach your word on tonight, Father God. We don't take it for granted. We don't take it lightly, Father God. We thank you for the privilege to be able to do so. We pray, Father God, and we thank you, first and foremost, God, that not only did you wake us up this morning, but you kept us throughout this day, Lord, and you allowed us to arrive at such a time as this. And so on tonight, God, we want to thank you. Hallelujah. We want to give you the highest praise. And, God, we ask that you speak through us, Father God, that no flesh receives any glory, God, because all glory belongs unto you. And so prepare the hearts and minds of your people that they'll be receptive to your teaching on tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Our scripture tonight, as you already announced the title, Unrewarded Quitters, our scripture text is coming from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. I'm going to read the New Living Translation. I always try to find a translation that kind of gives us an easier feel for the thought that we are trying to convey. And so I went with the New Living Translation, and it says, patient endurance is what you need now. This is what the author is saying. So that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. And the word of God is already blessed. Brother Manny, I want to, as a, by way of introduction, I want to take us to James 1 and 4. And I don't know if during the course of your studies that you looked at this verse as well, but it is definitely apropos to look at that, because he really, Brother James really gives us a sense of why we should embrace patience. Many times, most of us fall into sin or some form of disobedience because we lack the patience to wait on God, to wait for the manifested blessing of God. We'll say we believe God. We'll even say we have faith. But the truth is that is bore out in our ability to wait or to be patient. And so James says this in 1 and 4. He says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, some translations says complete, and so that word entire, and it says wanting nothing.
Wanting, amen.
Absolutely zero, Brother Matt. And so as we begin to dissect this scripture, I want to say this. For most of us, if not all of us, quitting occurs before we actually quit. The quitting starts even before we actually quit. And what I mean by that is it starts in our minds, sometimes in our conversation. But watch this, always in our behavior. That's where it ends up at, right? It starts in our minds. And sometimes because we're defeated in our minds, then we start speaking defeated language. And what we don't understand is by speaking defeated language, we're allowing Satan access that he did not have prior to us opening our mouths and speaking defeat over our own life, over our own situation.
Amen.
Now, I know we're supposed to be teaching tonight, and I'm going to try to stay in teaching mode, but if it gets preachy, don't be mad. So, because this thing began to minister even to me. It did, because I have found myself, I can't speak for nobody else, and you know I'm always going to be transparent about me. I have found myself in a place where this was me at one point in time, where not only, you know, it'd be different if we just shut up and quit, you know, not, you know, kind of like shut up and dribble, but shut up and quit. Don't say nothing. If you don't quit, quit. What is all the conversation about?
Right.
What is all the conversation about? Are you trying to talk yourself into it or what? But the truth of the matter is what we have to understand as believers is that Satan does not have the power to make us quit. And even he knows that. So what he tries to do is impact our perspective so that we begin to look at the trials of life and begin to say, hey, listen, this is too much. I hear Christians say way too often, I'm overwhelmed. I'm just in a place where, you know, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. But how is it that we serve the only true and living God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or ask? How is it then that we can get to a place that we are ready to quit and throw in the towel? I'll tell you, it's because quitting starts way before we actually quit. The devil starts working on our eyesight, and we forget that 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we walk by faith. That word walk in the Greek means we live by faith and not by sight. And so when we understand that that's the case, even though a thing looks a particular way, I got to get in my spirit that I'm going to stay patient and persevere, because sooner or later, when God promises something, it is not in God's nature. In fact, Numbers 23 and I believe 19 says that God is not man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should have to repent. So if God says a thing, if God pronounces a thing, only we can keep it from coming to pass. And so we have to resolve ourselves to the fact that we have to be careful with entertaining thoughts that lead us to a place of conversation that then gives Satan access. You can think whatever you want to think. The devil cannot read your mind, but he's banking on the fact that your ear gate and your eye gate begin to develop the wrong perspective in your mind, because he knows if you do that, then he knows something's going to come out of your mouth that's going to allow him access, and then he's going to jump on you with both feet, Brother Manny. And so, so we need to understand, you talked a little bit about this earlier, about quitting happens in more than just one way. And generally, you know, there's some trains of thought out here around certain things, and one of those things is, how you do anything is how you do everything. And so if there's one area in your life that's struggling, let's say you lack discipline, then guess what? If you lack discipline in one area of your life, chances are there are going to be multiple areas in your life where you lack discipline. And so when we understand that when you can't keep a job, when you can't, amen, everybody's wrong but you. When you are at a place where, you know, everything is somebody else's fault and it's never your fault, we need to reevaluate ourselves. When again, I go back to the we can't hold a job situation. If you keep quitting jobs, not that you can't hold a job, but you just keep quitting them. Why do you continue to quit jobs? Because there's a spirit of quitting that you have fully embraced, and so it has allowed Satan access to other parts of your life. And so when things get hard, watch this, some of us will even have the nerve, Brother Manny, to call ourselves quoting scripture to justify us quitting. And the truth, and if we're not careful, we'll believe it wholeheartedly. Like, no, you know, God doesn't want me to, amen, stay at this job and my boss talking to me crazy. Yeah, but did he tell you to quit? Or did he tell you to stay there and persevere and show your boss how Christians deal with calamity, trials, issues, suffering? I'm gonna pull up right there. If there's something you want to add on, go ahead. If not, in the immortal words of Mr. T and Rocky III, I got a lot of money.
Amen. Well, you know, honestly, one of the things that I glean from this scripture, and, you know, mm-hmm. I always like reading the scripture in the Amplified, because for me anyway, it kind mm-hmm. of brings out, you know, some extra things that always blesses me, you know. Mm-hmm. And when we're talking about here, not just quitting, as we, you know, some folks, like you said, quit even before the battle is even started, even before the battle is won, right? Yeah. You go into the situation with the mindset that you're going to give up. If you're met with any adversity, any obstacles, if you are met with any pushback, if it's uncomfortable, you're going to give up. And I speak from a position of experience, because oftentimes we get comfortable in a place where we decide certain things we're not going to deal with at all, right? Yeah. And I understand, like, not allowing yourself to be someone's doormat or run over or done a certain way or put yourself in harm's way. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, and only you really know, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we can hide from people. We can hide from certain situations, but the Bible says that we are laid naked in front of God. There's nothing we can hide from God, right? Mm-hmm. So God knows the beginning from the end, and he knows if you're going to quit or if you're going to have endurance and persevere. He knows all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at this scripture up now, and I just want to point out that, oh, that was the scripture. Where's my scripture at? Okay, here we go. We're talking about having endurance. It says in verse 36, Hebrews 10, "For you have need of patient endurance to bear up under difficult circumstances without compromising."
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not enough to just endure. Endure without compromising. How many of us out there can say, you know, I endured this. I did whatever it took. You did whatever it took? Did you compromise your integrity? Did you compromise your walk with God? Did you, you know, you endured it, but how? The how you endured is important, too. So that you have carried out the will of God, right, in your life, you may receive and enjoy, check this out, to the full what is promised. Yes, a lot of us get to the point right when we are going to reap the harvest, reap the benefits of all the hard work, all the late nights, all the up all night praying, all the fasting, you know, all the scripture reading, all the meditation, we give up. Why? Because we allow other thoughts to infiltrate. We allow other feelings to infiltrate. We allow other people to infiltrate what we have going on, and we just give up. Sometimes it's just us. We get to a certain point, and we don't want to push past that next barrier, push past that next obstacle. And so I start applying this to my own life. Like, why is it so easy for me just to give up on a thing?
Yeah, that's a good question. I have an answer to.
Go ahead, Pastor, go ahead.
and I don't mean that I have an answer, because for you, it's an answer for everybody who desires to quit. So when I'm studying this, I'm looking at how the author is tying the ability to have patience to a relationship to God and his word. Because you cannot simply get on your knees, lay prostrate, sit down, whatever you do, stand up, bow your head, close your eyes. You can't just pray and say, God, zap me with patience, and there's patience. It doesn't work that way. And many people refuse to pray for patience Because almost everybody I've heard say, I pray for patience and God gave me trials. Well, how else do you develop patience without trials? And so that's par for the course. And so,
that's right.
And so what the Holy Spirit shared with me was, he said, patience is something that is developed through our relationship with God. God will mature us watch this, the grace of patience. See, patience is not just something that's given to you because you asked for it. It's a grace that has to come from God. Like there's some things, Brother Manny, you get on a job, you go to a job, and you read the qualifications, and you don't have, they're asking you for five things, but you only have two of them. But you get the job anyway. You know why? Because God has graced you with that job because you didn't qualify. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we need God to grace us with patience, but he won't do that if we don't have the wherewithal to get in his word consistently and be those who diligently pursue him. See, we want to say that scripture that says God is rewarded in the diligent you seek him. We want to tie that to material things and monetary things, right? But how about he's rewarding you with grace? How about he's rewarding you with the grace of peace, the grace of patience, the grace of long-suffering? How about he is gracing you with the fruit of the Spirit so that, like you just said a second ago, when trials and tribulations come, you'll be able to stand under the weightiness of the thing. We just want to run around church and shout and thank God for things and money and spouses and houses, but we don't want to. Tell me when the last time you heard somebody pray fervently for the fruit of the Spirit. Come on, bro. Tell me when the last time you heard somebody stand up in church or on TV and say, I've been fasting, that God gives me the fruit of the Spirit. We'll say we want to be closer to God, but that doesn't just happen by osmosis. When I was studying this, something struck me, and I think it's in one of my notes, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. It said that we are supposed, oh, here it is, it's actually my next note. It says we have to be transformed into the image of God. And that is not an overnight or a part-time or an occasional process, Brother Manny.
Amen.
What did you say in the beginning? I've made man how? In my own image. Is that not what he said in the beginning before sin?
That's what he said.
And because Jesus came back and brought us back from what Adam did, guess what? God is now still trying to get us. Now we have access to be back like the image of God. So that's the pursuit. The other stuff is collateral. The other stuff is, you know, that comes along. That's just part of the package. But my pursuit is not for a spouse, a house, a car. None of that. My pursuit is to be in the image of God. Seek ye first, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you.
Amen.
See, we'll pursue things, but we won't pursue patience. And that's why we find ourselves quitting, because when was the last time? I can't tell you the last time I pursued patience, man. I ain't going to sit here and lie. I'm going to be transparent. But for most of us, when was the last time we pursued it? When was the last time we were aggressively going after it? Just like you said a little while ago. Most of us are even fasting. So I know you can't be aggressive. When you read the scripture that talks about ask, seek, and not, when you study that, it says ask, it really tells you to ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock
That's
and
right.
keep on knocking.
Mm-hmm.
but we'll bug the foolishness out of God when it comes to what we want. God, I need this job. I need this house. I need this money. My bank account looking anemic. And God is saying, when was the last time you pursued me for the fruit of the Spirit? Because he said right here, and he said in James 1 and 4, oh, you will need patience, because guess what? I'm not a God that just, I'm not a genie. You don't just rub the bottle, I'll pop out and grant you 3 wishes. There are going to be some things that I'm going to do for you instantly. There are going to be some things I do for you in a day, a couple of days, weeks, months, years. It just depends on when I know when is the best time for me to give it to you. Because guess what? Just because you pray for something don't mean it's time for you to receive it.
Yeah. I also think that pray amiss.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah.
I'm gonna change that up. I'm gonna take the liberty to paraphrase. You prayed, but you missed.
But you missed.
You prayed.
Yeah.
But you missed. Why do I say that?
Tell us.
Half of the stuff, maybe even more than half of the things that we pray about.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time God hearing from us all day. That's the first few moments we so-called are spending with the Lord all day. But we expect God to move in the speed that only a true and living God can move when we want, right? The problem is that we are unable and unwilling to really sit in God's will for our life, to sit in it, right? I'm going to read this. This is something that God gave me. I'm going to make these two quick points, and I'm going to pass it back. The word endurance, that's to me the hot word or the buzzword in this scripture, endurance. Mm-hmm. When I think of endurance, I think of marathon runners, cross-country runners, right? But here, I believe the Greek word, the Strong's has it as hoopomene. The words associated with endurance, consistency, perseverance, continuance, bearing up. We read that out of the Amplified. Steadfastness, holding out, patient endurance. That's in the scripture. The word combines hippo, which means under, and mone, to mean to remain. It describes the capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. Now, here's the caveat. Not with a passive complacency, but with a hopeful fortitude that actively resists weariness and defeat. Actively resists weariness and defeat. The Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Marathon runners, before they have a major race, they do something that they call carbing up. That last meal the night before, they carb up real high. A lot of you are familiar with what carbs are, because that's all you eat, just like me. You eat breads and pastas and ice creams and sugars and amen. But they carb up the night before because they want to have that reserve, right, for the race. They need that reserve, that energy. Carbs are converted into sugar, which you can use then the next day as energy for the race. You know what Christians are doing? They are getting ready to run a race, or they're going for an endurance run.
Come on, brother.
and yeah. then and they're not eating anything the night before or the day before mm-hmm. or the week before. Yeah. They're not eating mm-hmm. what? God's word. The Bible calls God's word what? Bread, right? Mm-hmm. Living
right.
water, bread. You're yeah. not you're not hydrating mm-hmm. the night before, and you're not carving mm-hmm. up for this race we call life.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to approach the race, if we're going to mm-hmm. approach the trial, the tribulation, if we're going to approach mm-hmm. this thing being steadfast, mm-hmm. consistent, and persistent, if we're going mm-hmm. to have the capacity to stand up, as the world says, I'm standing 10 toes down,
mm-hmm.
with difficult or under difficult circumstances, we can't be passive. We can't miss the meal the night before. We can't go hungry the night before. We have to actively, we have to do something. That's what that word active, we have to do something. And then you, what happens if we actively do something? Then we limit the chances where we grow so weary, we even have a desire to quit. You got to be able to pull from something. What are you pulling
That's
from
right.
in those moments you feel like quitting? What's in your mind? What's in your heart? Have you been studying your word? Have you been praying? Have you been consecrating yourself? If you don't have anything to pull from the night before, if you didn't take anything in, you're not going to have anything to sustain you and help you stand up under the circumstances. Amen. Go ahead, Pastor.
No, that was excellent, bro. That's real good. We really could just leave it right there. That was, bro, you're right. You're trying to fight a fight. What is it that Mike Tyson said? Everybody has a plan until they get hit in the mouth.
That's right.
Everybody got a plan. This is what I'm going to do. Then when the bell rings and you get hit, the plan goes out the window because you weren't prepared. See, part of the preparation should have been what I'm going to do when I get after I get hit in the mouth. What am I going to do after I get knocked down? That should have been part of the plan.
Yeah.
And so you planned poorly if you thought you were just going to get in the ring and you wasn't going to get hit or knocked down. You planned poorly. Now watch this.
Yeah.
You just said, basically, you said it. Like, we're trying to enter into a race that we're ill-prepared to run. And that's why we're overwhelmed. That's why we quit. That's why we throw in the towel. Because we were never equipped to even be in the race. You should have never been in the race. Not at all. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You should have never been in the race. I said this. As we study the word of God, it transforms us into his image. If we allow it, the word is definitely transformative. What did you just say? Eat the bread. The word is the bread. If you eat it, it's going to transform you. Why? Because
Amen.
unlike us, it's obedient to the assignment.
mm-hmm.
The word of God doesn't have a choice. It doesn't have a free will. Come on, somebody. It doesn't have a free will, don't have a choice, it don't have a say in the matter. It has to manifest unless we diffuse it through our words. The scripture
yeah.
talk about we make the word of God of none effect. How do we do that? Because we diffuse it. We don't receive it. And so the word itself is definitely transformative. It is us who are at times we are resistant to transformation. I always been like this. This is how I always handle things. And sir or ma'am, that's the problem. Or this is how my grandmother,
right.
my mama used to do. Listen, just because it's a tradition doesn't mean it's biblical. If it ain't biblical, Brother Manny, if it ain't biblical, and guess what? It don't have to be wrong, but guess what? Jesus didn't, what did Jesus tell them? The Sabbath is for man, not man for the Sabbath. What are you talking about? These guys are hungry. If your mule fall in a ditch, are you not going to get it out? Because it's the Sabbath? You won't let him stay there until the Sabbath is over, huh? No.
Yeah. But he flexed on them too. He said, but I also wanted to let you know I'm Lord even over the Sabbath. So you can shut it down.
Yeah.
Go sit down somewhere.
Mary, Martha, I know you're going to live in the resurrection. Little girl, I am the resurrection. What are you talking about? Sometimes that's what I'm saying. We don't embrace who he is. Even from a perspective of being the bread of life or the living word.
Yeah.
If he tells me if I reap if I don't faint, then guess what? My job is to not worry, it's to not faint. I'm trying to fulfill the wrong job requirement. It ain't my place to worry. It's my place to not faint, Brother Manny. It's my place not to quit. That's my job. That's what I got to work on. And God didn't leave it to me of my own accord. He's given me the word to support me. And where is that noted? Because I got this. I got that in here too. Where is that? When we operate out of the will of God, it often leads us to a place of quitting because of us being out of the will, we don't have the support of the Holy Spirit, nor of God's grace.
Come on.
See, when you ain't in the will of God, if you was in the will of God, God's not leaving you to your trial or your suffering to your own. He's not leaving you alone in that. He's giving you the Holy Spirit to minister to you. He's giving you grace. What grace is he giving you? He said, I'll raise up a standard before I allow you to be overtaken in a thing. When the enemy comes in like a flood, I'll lift up a standard against him. I will not put more on you than you can bear. But that means you have to allow me to, you have to be in my will so that I am able, because when you are out of the will, you have given Satan allowed access. Right action. Satan has a right to attack you.
Yeah, you let yourself out to the wolves, man. I mean, at the end of the day, Jesus is telling us to seek the bread. He's the bread of life. That's what John 6 chapter says. He said, "I am the bread of life.
Yeah.
He that hungers after me shall be filled." If you thirst after me, you should listen. I will quench your thirst. He says, listen, come to me, all ye that are what? Heavy laden, right?
That's right. Burdened and heavy laden. And I will give
you. And what did he offer us? Come on,
take
man. Let's trade.
I take yours. You take mine. My burden is easy. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
But we forfeit that when we try to do it on our own. When we try to do it in our own power, we forfeit that. When we want our will to be done, not His will, we want our will. It's what I want. It's what I want. What if I told you, brothers and sisters, everyone that's listening? What if I told you that I could tell you the choice that you're going to make?
Yeah.
That the direction you're going to choose is going to lead you down a path where you're going to want to quit. It's going to lead you down a path where you're going to miss out. You're going to forfeit something, a blessing, a promise, a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting what you want is so much smaller and minute, so much smaller than what he has prepared for you. But you want it your way. And the one thing that God will allow, he will allow you to have it your way, like Burger King. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He will allow you to have it your way and for you to bump your head, for you to have it the hardest way you could possibly have it. for you to end up quitting. And guess what? That's not even the direction he wanted you to go in the first place.
That's good, brother man. That's good.
He didn't want that for you in the first place. He didn't want her for you in the first place. He didn't want him for you in the first place.
Yeah.
That job you got, you wanted it so bad because they paid you $150,000, but all your hair fell out. Nobody on the job like you. They're trying to get rid of you. He didn't want you there in the first place.
That's real.
When are we going to surrender?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be honest, that's the only way we're going to be able to endure.
That's it.
If it's in his will. If it's in your own will, you don't get the promise don't apply to you if you're doing your own thing.
That's good.
And that's where we miss the mark.
Yeah.
We're trying to endure. We're trying to hold on. We're trying to push past it. And it's the direction that we have taken ourselves. We didn't consult God. He said, acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will direct your path.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We are doing the driving when we should be the passenger. Praise God. Go ahead, Pastor.
Mm-hmm. Instead of us embracing suffering and trials as an opportunity to growth and maturity, we often complain, which allows Satan access to come in and start the quitting process. What does the quitting process look like, Brother Manny? We start losing hope. We get depressed. We feel in despair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And eventually, then you quit. Because one thing about human beings, when there's no hope, then, man, all bets are off.
Yeah.
Now, you're not going to tell me that somebody, you know, that's why it shows people's immaturity when somebody dies. Now, don't get me wrong, Brother Manny. I'm not trying to sound insensitive. But when I hear people in particular in church, I'll say it that way, who say God is wrong, God is bogus, because he let my loved one die. He don't know how I feel. Well, this I know you don't study your Bible, because he experienced what you experienced way before you even experienced it.
Come on.
Over 2,000 years ago. So to say that he God, so he can handle it. Well, let's look at what actually happened. He actually, you know, no disrespect, your loved one was flawed. They had issues. And his son ain't have not one issue. He died, in fact, for your flawed mother, your flawed father, your flawed child, your flawed spouse. Jesus died for your flawed individual. He didn't just die. He was hanging on the cross, stark naked, with nails in his hands and his feet, a crown of thorns in his head, pierced in the side. Oh, yeah, by the way, he was beat all night long, beard pulled out, strand of hair at a time, flesh coming off his bones. He's trying to push up on the cross, getting all kind of splinters in his wounds, trying to push up so he can breathe. And he didn't do one single solitary thing. You want to tell me God is unfair? So what we have to understand, instead of complaining, we have to understand that at the end of the day, trials bring us to a place, if we allow it, to matured patience, to a place that says, I don't care how long it's going to take, I know my God's going to come through, because here's something that is for certain with God. He will not lie. It's not even a thought. It's not even a possibility, man. He will not lie. So since he will not lie, then guess what? He's going to do whatever he told you he's going to do. But it has to be in his time and in his will. And if you can't receive that, then that's on you. And that again further tells me that then you are not in the Word of God, because watch this. What God's expectation is that you trust him enough that you can wait until he do it, because he's going to do it. And while I'm waiting on God to do it, I'm going to be praising him all the while. I'm going to be thanking him all the while. Because guess what? I don't serve some regular, ordinary, you know, God that you can make in a factory somewhere. I serve the only true and living God who told his son, I don't know how many years ago, thousands and thousands of years ago, whatever it is, to you rise in the east and you set in the west, and it's been doing it. Never missed the morning where it rose, whether on this, whether here or overseas or wherever, it always came up in the east, and it always sets in the west. And guess what? It doesn't have a choice in the matter. That's the God we serve. So if he promises something, it's going to come to pass. I want to close with this note. Let me be abundantly clear. I'm not talking about earning anything. So when we read this and it says that when we learn how to be patient, it says, let me just read it so I'm not misunderstood. Patient endurance is what you need. It's what we need so that we will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. Watch this. This ain't talking about stuff, man. This ain't talking about money. It ain't talking about things. It's talking about eternal life. And you can't earn eternal life. You can't earn eternal life. It is given to you by the grace of God. So then what is he saying? It says here, you told us, Pastor, when you was teaching us, you said whenever you see the word then, it contrasts what was said before with what's said after. And that's right. It's a covenant, right? But it's not the kind of covenant that says you earn eternal life. It's the kind of covenant that says because you are in my will, here's the reward. In other words, this reward is only for those who are in my will. In other words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. In other words, ain't nobody going to sneak into heaven, break into heaven, end up in heaven on accident. If you make it to heaven, it would have been by the grace of God. But those who do the will of God, that's what's going to happen for them. That's what. So somebody listening has to ask themselves: am I in the will of myself? Am I in the will of the devil? Am I in the will of my pastor or somebody else? Or am I in the will of God for my life? Because any other will I'm in, and I ain't about to entertain this foolishness about the permissive will and the perfect will and will to do none of that. I'm just telling you, man, at the end of the day, brother, those who end up in heaven are those who are walking in the image of God, who's walking in the will of God. You're going to look like your daddy. One thing about us Murphys, we got that Murphy forehead. You can show a movie on our forehead. And you know a Murphy when you see one. And I'm telling you, it should be the same thing for those of us who are made in the image of God. It should be evident that's a child of God. That's a child of God right there. There should be no doubt. None. So, Brother Manny, I thank God that he loves us enough to be patient. That he loves us enough to he didn't even leave it up to us, Manny. He said, when you walk in my will, I give you my word to help you. I give you the grace to do it. I give you the Holy Spirit. How many of us have been missing God because we're not hearing the Holy Spirit? Because we're not still enough to let the Holy Spirit minister to us. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
That's all I got.
Amen. Go ahead, Pastor.
We gotta stop quitting on ourselves, on our families, especially us men who are husbands. We are supposed to be the leaders of our families. We have to turn things around because we have to leave an inheritance. Not just a financial inheritance, and definitely not just a materialistic inheritance, but what about leaving a spiritual inheritance? And I'm not saying that, oh, well, if you got a spiritual inheritance, they're perfect. No, we should be able to leave a financial inheritance for our seed and our seed. See, that's what the scripture says. But man, wouldn't it be a blessing also, more importantly, if we could leave a spiritual inheritance that our children don't have to miss it. They don't have to waste time being out of the will of God. Because we've told them, hey, listen, being out of the will of God is nothing but a waste of time. So I just thank God for this lesson, man. I thank God for the Holy Spirit giving it to me. I thank God for your insight, Brother Manny, because I'm telling you, you always are on point, bro. And I'm not just saying that to give you a big head, but you are always on point. The Holy Spirit always uses you. And I thank God for you, man. I thank God for this platform.
Amen. Amen. I can't take no credit for anything. Just like you said, the Holy Spirit, I never know what I'm going to say when we get on here. I just ask God to word my mouth. Amen. So to God be the glory. I just want to say thank you, Pastor, for getting on with me another Tuesday God's Word to Man broadcast. It's every Tuesday, folks. If you're listening now live or if you're going to listen to the recording, listen, we're here most Tuesdays, every Tuesday. We try to be anyway, praise God. Every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, we have different topics that we talk about, and we apply scripture, and we discuss it. Amen. So you're more than welcome to tune in any Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Don't forget, we do have Transformation Thursdays happening on Facebook, on the Caring Church Facebook page at 8 p.m. on Thursdays. So be on the lookout for that posting every Thursday, Transformation Thursdays with Pastor Murphy there, Joseph Murphy, and myself, and Brother Nathaniel, our other brother, our eldest brother, he's normally on there. And sometimes we have surprise guests. Sometimes maybe Brother Ron might, pop in, or the last brother, I forget his name, that joined us, praise God, but Brother Allen. So I'm just so excited about that Transformation Thursday. I hope it truly is my prayer that folks are being transformed, or as Rev's word he liked to use, transmogrified. Praise God. One last thing, I want to let you know that we do have a daily Monday through Friday prayer line for myself and my aunt, my 90-year-old aunt tomorrow, actually. She comes on and prays every night, Monday through Friday, with us, along with my brother Nate and Rev. Of course, he's on there, when he gets on. We get on there and we pray for the young people. I don't know. God gave me a true heart to continue lifting up and praying for the young people in this generation as we get closer and closer to this end time. Things are just the evil is just intensifying, and God placed it on my heart to have a prayer line where we pray for the young people and whatever is, you know, God puts on our hearts to pray for. The number to call in at 9 p.m. Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday, 716 416-427-1082. Again, that number is 716-427-1082. Make sure you enter the code 245064#, 245064, and then the pound sign. I hope that you join us. I hope that you come back on a Tuesday evening and listen in, maybe call in and ask a question or have a comment or even a prayer request. We're here for you guys. It's been a blessing. May God bless you and keep you and protect you and your family. It's my prayer. I love you. Rev?
Amen. And don't forget, God cares, and so does the Caring Church. We love you. Be blessed, everybody.
Yes, Lord.